بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت مرزا مظہر جان جانا رحمت اللہ علیہ از دا کنٹمپرری آف حضرت شاہ ولی اللہ صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ اراؤنڈ دا 11th سینچری. اے مین ود اے ویری ویری فائن ریفائنمنٹ ریفائنڈ ٹیمپریمنٹ. Some people are naturally born with very, very refined temperaments. Sheikh Rahmatullah's father, Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was amongst those people. When his mother had to give him milk, so she found that she doesn't have sufficient milk. So some woman was employed to do the feeding. But he would refuse to take milk until that woman takes a bath, puts on clean clothes, applies some ether, then only would he accept the milk. So there are those people who are born with that very, very refined temperament. That refined temperament doesn't mean that that person is more pious or more virtuous. In some respects, it is a favor that you have a very refined temperament, in that you will not hurt the next person. Very, very refined, and you're very sensitive. So you will see to it that the next person is not hurt on account of your doing. Like if you are walking into the home at a late part of the night or into your room, then you will have it in your mind that the slightest sound perhaps may disturb the next person's sleep. So you will walk in, but very gracefully, very carefully, so as to not disturb any person. Or, for example, you have to come to reach home or return home at some late part. So you will program the whole thing in your mind that I'm going to come at a late part of the night. Perhaps they may be shocked by my coming, so let me tell them in advance that I will come around this time as expect me. So you'll be meticulous in your way, and in this respect there may be a good side to it, that you will not hurt anybody, no person will suffer any type of hurt and injury on account of your doing or on account of any word that you've been using. Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah Ta'ala had shown him through a dream or something that if you marry a certain woman, then this will be the cause of your elevation. Allah Ta'ala will elevate you, your maqam and your status will be greater. Right? Now, just to come in between here, a note of caution. Right? Sometimes it is your imagination that gets the better over you. Right. And your imagination begins to suggest certain things to you. Now this was by a inspiration through Hazrat Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullah Alayh. Now someone sitting here, he may think that I'm also getting inspiration, that I must get married to a certain woman. So this is not an inspiration, it is just your own nafs that is making suggestions to you. Right. Your imagination also can have the better over you. Don't realize, but your imagination also can have the better over you, it can work on you. You may be thinking that you're getting inspirations, whereas it's got nothing to do with inspirations. It is just your imagination and nothing more than guesswork and speculating. So don't go behind that. When you are in that position where you get inspired, then you will not need to ask. It will come with such tremendous force that you will not need to ask. So that's a different thing altogether. The example for it is a child, right, he may ask, may I get married or not? Right? But if he is matured and he is fully responsible, now does he need to ask? He doesn't need to ask, now he'll get married himself. Because he knows that he is of age. Right? And the child, He doesn't know what marriage is all about, but because he sees people getting married, so he's also aspiring to get married. So he doesn't know what it is about. But here, man came of age, so he knows what is marriage, what the responsibilities, and he knows the requirements that I need to be mature for that. These type of cautionary notes are important in this day. The reason is that on account of this technology, etc., and media, technology, and what have you, there is a lot of imagination, illusion, imagination, and speculation, and guesswork that carries on. You see something, you read of something, mind is weak, and then mind then creates something, and then you begin to feel something, you begin to see something, whereas this is just guesswork. At least 70-80% of the time it is just guesswork, it is just imagination, it is nothing more than an illusion. So don't go behind this thing. Just cut it off, snap it off, don't go behind it. When you have reached that maqam, then Allah Ta'ala will inspire you and inspire you with force. Then you will feel convinced that I must do it. One Buzurg was seated in his home and he got the news that another saintly person has come to the town. Let me go and pay him a visit. He received an inspiration that don't go. He sat down and then he thought of going to meet the person again for the second time. Again he got the inspiration that don't go. He sat down for the second time. Then again the thought crossed his mind, but he's a saintly person, why don't I go and meet him? He got up and he sat down for the third time. But the fourth time then he took the initiative to go up to him. As he stood up to go up, he just hardly took a few steps and he broke his leg. And now he's unable to go and see him altogether. Later on he discovered that that person that he is wanting to meet is a pure bidati. He's soaked in haram and he's in bidat. So that person that receives this type of inspiration, then he will be inspired with such force that it will be difficult for him to turn away from that. And otherwise these are more or less the things that we go through, is more imagination, more guesswork, and it's just an illusion. So the better thing for us is then to ask, to refer to our seniors, this is what I'm feeling or what I'm going through, do I take it serious or do I just leave it aside? Then that senior will tell you what you should be doing. Tasawwuf is not just guesswork. It's not guesswork, it's not just going by our feelings, not just going by our imaginations. It is a reality. And it isn't something that is just guesswork. And it isn't just, you aren't doing it to just enjoy certain feelings, kayfiyat and feelings. There was a great Sheikh, Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahib, rahmatullah alayh. And he was commanded by inspiration again that you go and settle in India. So he complained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that here I'm living in Medina Munawwara and I get the opportunity of visiting Rasul Pak all the time. So Rasul Pak reassured him that don't worry, you carry on, you go on and you will be blessed with seeing me every day. So anyway, he continued, he went, came up to India. India up till recently was flooded with bidat, urus and taziya and all the type of wrongs that you know of, all was flooded with that. So now he had to make some type of a headway because he's been inspired that you go and guide these people there. Right? Like we had Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayh, and he's inspired as well. And then with that inspiration you see the goodness that came out thereafter. the 6 points and whatever came up afterwards, we see all that. So these people are divinely, they are guided, they are inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you go and do this. And they had their elders to refer to, like Muhammad Ilyas Sabrahman was inspired. So he shivered at the idea that you must start off this work, whatever. Well, he was told, ke hum aap se kaam lenge, ke we would take work out of you. So he shivered at the idea. Ke a weak person like me, and he was weak, by nature was very weak. Physically very, very weak he was. So he went and referred that to his elders. Ke this is the inspiration that I have received, that we would take work out of you. So the elders then comforted him, saying that the inspiration didn't tell you that you will work. The inspiration told you that we will get work out of you. We will make you work. We will see that you do this work. So when Allah Ta'ala is going to make you work, He's going to see that it happens, that there's nothing for you to be concerned about. It would have been a matter of concern if you were to do the work. Here Allah Pak is assuring you that He will get the work done out of you. So there's nothing to be worried about. Hence, Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah had come to Delhi. And as he arrived in Delhi, then he's thinking, now there must be some way that I can start off some work. How can I start off the work? So he sees Muslims in groups, and there is one leader, and there is some people, he's got a following. So he's gone to the various groups, but everyone is soaked in bidat. So he saw one person with a very, very huge group, very, very great following. Very great following he's got. Sometimes we get misled with this type of situation, when if you see a person with a very great following, then you also want to follow. Why you follow them? Because he's got a very great following. So this is in Christianity. You get this evangelist and all that, swagat. Now, some years ago, he was caught flirting with some woman, or what, some type of lewd behavior he was caught. So now, when he's caught with that lewd behavior, obviously he will not be able to enjoy that type of position in that channel. He's got millions of followers he's got, and here he's been convicted for this type of lewd behavior. Right? So he can't enjoy that type of position. Now, their work all revolves around actions and plays, etc. Right? It's just to thrill and to impress upon the crowd. It's nothing more than impressing and thrilling the crowd. So he came up, he appeared on television again, and then he's got his closer people, so they all told him, now that guna of yours, that sin of yours is now maaf. Everything is cleared, and they all hugged him, and he's crying. So it's like a very emotional scene, and now he's back in his business again. Now what is this? This is pure business. This is not deen. It's got nothing to do with deen. And the simple reason that this is not deen is, can a man forgive you for committing fornication? Rather, he committed fornication, right? And who forgave him? His following forgave him. So have they got the right to forgive? Like you get some stupid woman, they write up, my husband was caught, I caught him red-handed 3 times, 4 times, but I have forgiven him for the wrong. If you analyze this, that would mean that it's permissible for the husband to carry on with a lewd behavior subject to the consent of the husband. Now this is what that girl is saying, what the woman is saying. So whether she allows, she consents, or she doesn't consent, this lewd behavior is a lewd behavior. It is not subject to her approval. She doesn't sanction anything as halal and haram. She doesn't have the right to do it. So how can she sanctioned that this is halal and that is haram? So she can't sanction it. She can't say, no, I've forgiven him for his lewd behavior. So this is on account of ignorance. Sometimes we get impressed, we get carried away with a person just because of a following. So that's not the way to align yourself with anybody. The way to align yourself or to align ourselves is to see two things. What is the type of person? What is the type of the following he's got? If the type of following he's got is more a humble class, a learned class, people that know about deen, so this is one positive sign. They learned, they know about deen, they understand deen. In spite of them knowing deen and understanding deen, then they are with him. Then the second thing is to see that the majority of his following are not the wealthy class. There may be a couple of few here and there, some wealthy people, but the majority is not the wealthy class. So if you see these two signs, then generally this is a sign that that person is on the right. Because they say that kabutar, baz, baz, birds of a feather flock together. Right? If there is the more wealthier class that is the majority of his following, that means he's got wealth within him, and therefore these people got attracted towards him. But if it is the simple people, more of the simple people that follow him, and the learned class, people that know about deen, then there is something in common. For these persons to come and join him, these people to follow him, there must be something in common. They say the philosopher Aflatun, Pluto. He had seen that a madman took some keen interest in him, took some very keen interest in him, and began to flock at his gatherings, whatever else. So he got worried. Okay, am I right that for this mad person to come to take to me, there must have been something in common for him to take with to me. So maybe I'm also off a little bit. So he came back and he took some medication, etc., to see whether he's gone off or not. He's still right. Thereafter he discovered that the thing that was common in that mad person and him was both were limp. He was lame and he was lame, right? And because of that common thing, this person took to him. Birds of a feather flock together. You got the same type of temperaments, then you will find some solace, some type of understanding, some type of familiarity with that person. The temperaments are alike. So you'll see sometimes that you don't know the person for years, you don't know him. And when you met him, as though you knew each other for years, hazar saal pehle hame tumse pyar tha, as though 1,000 years ago there was an understanding and affinity between both of them. And then there's another person that's with you from birth, but you just can't get along, like total strangers. So what is this? Al-arwahu junudum mujannata. These souls, in the plane of souls, they were grouped up. So if you belong to a group, then when you come down to this earth, planet earth, then you have that type of familiarity as well. So anyway, we're talking about Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and I explain that you don't just go to a person on account of the numbers, but you see these two things. You see the type of people, what is the class of people that are following him. Generally you don't go off in that way. See his commitment to the Sharia, you see these things here, and then you follow the person, then you don't go off. One so-called peer had come to Gangor, see. So people had heard of him, and people began to flock, because you must just get a message that one big buzruk came, right? Everybody was to go and meet. I got this problem here, I got Tawi's problem, I got some dua problem, I got some marriage problem, I got some business problem. So as though he is the solution to everything now. So everybody will flock to him and get all the solutions, get all the problems sorted out. One couple that were not in marriage, right? Not in marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend. And they also heard about it. So the boyfriend says to the girlfriend, let's go over here, there's a big buzruk here. He doesn't discriminate over the small things, you know. The small little things, he doesn't discriminate, so let's go and meet him. So anyway, they went up, The girl was a little bit embarrassed of herself, so she stood behind the pillar somewhere as the boy came. With the corner of the eye, he saw that the girl is standing behind. So the Peer Sahib, he said to this girl that, "You also come, why are you ashamed of yourself? Wahi karta hai karata hai." What he says? Wahi karta hai karata hai. In other words, he does it and he makes you do it. What he's alluding is obvious, right? What he's alluding towards is obvious. So that girl, you know, sometimes iman is so firmly embedded in the person, it's not visible. Iman and virtue, righteousness, and the true love of Allah Ta'ala is sometimes embedded in the person, but it's not visible. The example for it is, there are two women, right? One person is not at all beautiful and attractive, but she's put so much of makeup and everything that you get misled. So much of makeup, earrings and ornaments, all that dress and makeup, clothing and all she's got, that you get carried away. The type of perfume that she's wearing, the type of makeup that she's wearing, the type of clothing, and you get misled, you get carried away, right? And the other one is extremely beautiful, but she went to a dusty part and came. So she's covered with dust. From head to toe, she's covered with dust, right? So the person that doesn't know, he'll get carried away towards that first woman. And that second woman, he says, "Oh, dusty and dirty and all that, just push away." Right? So really she was naturally beauty. She was just covered because of the dust that she had, the dusty road that she had gone through. The dust and the dirt and the filth that she had gone through. She became like that because of the path that she's went. So you just have to wash the dust out of her and you will see her natural beauty. So iman is also the same. Sometimes that person has got that iman. He is very strongly rooted in iman. But it is the environment, etc., that had spoiled him a little bit, right? That has covered him. Now that surface has to be scratched off and it has to be washed out. When it's washed out, it's scratched out, then you will see the gem in him. Like a diamond that has fallen into the filth, right? Right. Now it looks dirty, filthy, smelling. You just have to pull it out, wash it out, and then you will see its value. So some people are like that. And some people are of the first category. Outwardly they seem to be very pious. Outwardly, you look at the person, you think, no, he's very pious. You go to some of these darbar, and they say, you see the mujawaz, right? It's not a good thing to discuss, but they are taking things what they're not supposed to be taking. And they'll write, they'll read great poetry about it. Say, Khaja ki darbar mein ganja ki bepar hai. So they're doing all these things, yeah? And they support it with their poetry. And people get carried away. See what they're saying? Kya marifat ki baatein karta hai? He's talking so at such a high level, it's beyond us what he's talking. Now all this stupidity, it's all stupidity. That's why I say, they must be that learned class that knows about deen, they understand deen, they can distinguish between right and wrong, that's following. And if that class is not there, then it's suspect, there's something wrong here. They can't distinguish, because he can't distinguish, he doesn't know what's right from wrong. He's just getting carried away with some poetry or some emotions, man is getting carried away. Or there was some type of a qawwali and the person got a hal, he jumped and all that, so he got carried away. So these are not the ways to find out and distinguish between right and wrong. Umarji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, some of these people that do this taziya, so Mawlana was against it from the very beginning when he came from India, so he was against all this bidat and he used to speak out against it. So those people got worried because their business was going down. Right. So they came up to Mawlana and said, "Mawlana, you know what? As a trial to prove who's right and who's wrong, we'll have a fire tramping. In that zamana they used to do it. I saw it also in my childhood. They put a person onto a trance and then you go over red hot charcoal, right? Nothing happens to you. Right. So these things I've seen, type of drama and all. So they said, "Or we'll put 1 ton of charcoal and we'll light it red hot. If you can pass over it, then you are true. If you can pass over it, we are true." So Maharaj said that that's not the way to try it out, because Hindus are doing the same thing, the Christians are doing something. Someone is taking thorns and someone taking swords and poking into his body. So that's not a sign to show and prove that he is on the right and he is in the wrong. Otherwise everybody is true now. The Hindu is also true, the Christian is also, everybody will be right. So that's not the criteria. The criteria is the Quran and the Hadith. Anyway, we're talking of Muhaddis Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had come here. So he saw a person with a great following. He said, perhaps let me go and start off with them. I need to revive the Sunnah, and this man has got a following. They all seem to be Muslims. So let me start off with them. Mawlana started off with the group. So the leader says to him, see, I am the head of this group, and you join me. See, the type of permissive life that I'm leading, woman and drink, everything is freely available here. Woman and wine is all freely available. And, you know, you join up with me and I can make you my successor. You know, you're so great. I can see you. You're so good. So I can make you my successor. You'll be successor to the throne and you get all these comforts you will get, all thrown in. So he says, no, that's not right. It's not in keeping with the Quran and the Hadith. So this leader says, well, then I'll fix you up. I will fix you up. Because you are seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every day, and I will block your path. However, he was seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every day. Allah blessed him that he could see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every day at a certain time, right? So I'll block your path. Because I have got this type of powers. You see, when a person is using spiritual powers, right, then he can do certain things. So I will use my spiritual powers to block your path. Anyway, Hazrat Shah Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali returned, and now he sees that it is his time to come and see Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as he's approaching the house of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the residence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the spear is coming up, the same person is coming up and is waving a baton and is stopping him, not allowing him to come through. Anyway, the first time it happened, he went back very sorrowful that I couldn't meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam today. So the morning when he comes to see the peer again, so the peer tells him, see, I warned you that you don't join up with me, then I will stop your path. You rather join up with me and you'll see things will work out for you. Don't you do your own thing, you just join up with me and you will see that your path will be open. So he says, you see, the seeing of Rasulullah Pasam is a gift. It's not a command. The command is the teaching of Nabi Sallam, not the seeing. The teaching of Nabi Sallam is the command. That's the benchmark, that's the standard, that's the criteria. And the seeing of Nabi Sallam, that's not the benchmark, that's a gift. A gift should be taken as a gift, and a standard and a teaching must be taken as a as the criteria. So you are mixing up things. If I am going to go by the teaching of Nabi Sallam, in the process I can't see Nabi Sallam, then in the eyes of Nabi Sallam I am a winner. Nabi Sallam will like me. But if I break his command to go and see him, then I'll be a loser. I may be blessed to see him, but I'm in the process breaking his command. So I may see him, but I'll be a loser. So the right thing is I must respect his command, respect his teaching, irrespective of whether I see him or not. Irrespective if I see him or I don't see him, I'm still a winner. He will love me. And in fact, I'll become even dearer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I'm taking all these difficulties just to respect his command. I'm going through all these difficulties. So the first day, the road is blocked, the passage is blocked, he can't see. Second day, the same thing happened. And second day, that peeri sat him again. See, you rather just get up now from your slumber and your sleep and just join up with me. And see what I'm teaching, you just go in accordance to my teaching. He said, no, I'm a winner. As long as I'm keeping and conforming with the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I'm a winner. Right? Whether I see this or I don't see this, whether I enjoy this gift or I don't enjoy this gift, but I'm a winner because I'm conforming with the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, the third day again when it came for him to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, however he was used to see it, whether in a dream or whichever way he was seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when the third day arrived, so Rasul, Shah Abdul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah is approaching the residence and he's hearing the voice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ke aaj kai roz ho gaye, ke Abdul Haq milne ko nahi aa rahe, several days have passed and Abdul Haq, Shah Abdul Haq Sahib is not coming to meet us. What's gone? What's gone on? So he replied ke ye bidati mujhe mana kar raha hai. This bidati is blocking my road. He's not allowing me access to your residence, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want to come, but he's blocking my access to you, O Rasulullah Sallallahu. So Rasulullah commanded Ali radiallahu anhu to chase that person away. And so Ali radiallahu anhu says, "Ikhsa ya kalb, get out your dog," because a bidati in the next life, after you die, person is soaked in bidat, innovations, etc. When he's soaked in that, then he's changed to a dog, right? So Ali radiallahu anhu appeared on the scene and he chased him saying, "Ikhsa ya kalb, get out your dog, get out." Anyway, that person was removed, the road opened up and he went and met Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the morning, like it was his practice, he would come to this person here to visit him. He came again and he inquired, "Now what happened to your peer? Because normally I come at this time and he is here with you at that time. Now I'm sitting with you, already 2-3 hours that have passed, he hasn't yet come out." So they said, "No, perhaps he's busy inside for some reason or the other." So now I'll go and check up. They don't find him at all. No signs of the sheikh now, no sign of the peer. So he asked them, "But did you see a dog running away from this house?" So, "Yeah, we did see." So, "Well, that was your peer. This is what happened last night, and this is your peer. When you are going to change and distort the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you'll be distorted. You change Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teaching, then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teaching is so great in the sight of Allah Ta'ala that the one that attaches importance, shows love and respect, that he'll be honored and respected. But the one that changes it, he distorts it, he interferes with it, then Allah Ta'ala will distort him, will transform him. He's transformed, he's distorted, finish. So the criteria is not this feelings, dreams, visions, inspirations that we have, is not the criteria. The criteria is a sunnah and a firm adherence to the sunnah, very, very strong adherence to the sunnah. These things will happen, but the right thing and the greater thing is to refer to our elders. Okay, what do our elders say in this matter here? Don't take this thing seriously, because it can happen that you see something very great. And if you become consumed with it, what will happen? What will be in the words of Al-Mawad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi or Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, if you don't refer it to your elders, then the immediate problem will be that you will feel that I have surpassed my elder. I'm something greater. So they haven't yet experienced what I have experienced. They aren't at the level that I am. They are not at that spiritual height that I am. So when that type of arrogance, pride, haughtiness, etc. is going to come into you, then you may experience this, but you will go down. Slowly retrogress, and the decline will thereafter set in. So the right thing is to refer to them, and don't take it as a sign of your progress, or now you have been exalted, you are elevated, etc. Refer to your elder, let him understand what's going on, and let him correct you as he feels best. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.